Hey, it's your girl, Carla Renata. We are back with Black Tomatoes on Black Hollywood Live for episode 36. Bohemian Rhapsody is tuning up the box office. Boy Erased with Nicole Kidman and Lucas Hedges are scorching. And we got a little Nutcracker action right in time for the holidays. Stay tuned. Yes, we will rock you. Yes, we are doing one of Queen's iconic hits, We Will Rock You. Get on the beat, Scott.
I know. I'm always off beat. Don't worry about it.
He was doing that white people rhythm.
I very much have white people rhythm, and I'm proud of it. No, I'm just kidding.
That was pure comedy. Yeah.
You should see me at concerts.
Well, anywho, welcome back to episode 36 of Black Tomatoes. I am your host, Carla Renata, and I am joined by my co-host,
Scott Menzel. Lovely to be here, though I'm off beat. It's all good.
That face hurts laughing at you. Oh my God, that was so freaking funny. That was hilarious. Oh, just want to
say, that's why we're the perfect duo. You're always on point. I'm sometimes off.
And I want to acknowledge my boy, Michael B., who joins us every week in the chat room. What's up, my brother? Thank you, or my sister. Not sure.
Michael could be a boy or a girl. Thank you, Michael,
Michael could be a boy or a girl, but, you know, he's laughing.
I'm flawed.
He said he still loves me. Anyway, Insty-Who, welcome back, you guys. We got a lot to go over today, so let's just get right into it. Whew, I wore myself out just saying that.
There you go.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Now, we did a little sneak peek of it last week talking about it because I knew that when it hit the box office that it was just going to slay, and it did over $50 million. Yeah. I'm so excited for that. I'm so excited for Rami. I'm so excited for Queen. It was great, 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 great. So excited that it did well.
Me too.
And we talked about how much we loved it. Did we leave anything out when we talked last week?
I don't think we talked a lot about the actual setup of the movie.
Okay, so let's just chat about that.
Yeah, so I think this is a really interesting film because a lot of people who are criticizing this, I would like to talk a little bit about this, is that you and I have both said publicly that we love this movie. It's an incredible film. And a lot of people are criticizing this movie because they're expecting it to be a totally different movie, which I think is so incredibly unfair to the movie itself.
What are they expecting it to be?
They want it to be that dark side of, you know, Freddie Mercury.
They want dirt.
They want that independent movie that they're not getting with this movie.
They want dirt. And it's like, you know, and it's because we live in such tabloid times.
Yes.
We live in an era now where if you're not saying something snarky or being mean or telling somebody's most innermost secrets, nobody really is boring. Nobody really wants to check it out. And I'm sure every rock group has something that's dark and dirty. And I'm sure Queen is no different. But that was not the purpose of making this film. The purpose of making this film was to show how Queen became Queen and how Freddie Mercury came to that group and how his contribution and their contribution together with the four of them changed rock and roll history. That's what the film is about.
I agree.
So, you know, for all those people that, those naysayers and all them little folk that are hating on it, stop hating. Don't hate. Congratulate.
And I want to also say that, you know, I think this is a feel-great film. I mean, if you don't know the story of Queen, yes, this is kind of like an overview, but it's enough to kind of get your feet wet a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And it makes you, if you're really into this movie, it makes you want to go research it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And it wants you to listen to all more of the Queen songs.
Yeah.
It really pulls you in. Yeah. And that's if you're not familiar with the music. If you're someone who's familiar with the music, this is just like, you're just going to be like, the entire movie. I mean, I was watching this guy next to me at the screening. I mean, he was just like,
let me tell you something. I told you at my screening, people were clapping their hands and singing along. It was great. And when it was over, people applauded. We had a good time when we watched it. And it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, too.
Yeah.
So to be that happy at 10 o'clock in the morning after you have driven through rush hour traffic in L.A. to get to a screening on a studio lot, that says a whole lot about what kind of film that is. And we learned some things about Freddie Mercury that we didn't know. I did not know Freddie Mercury had been married. I did not know Freddie Mercury was of Indian descent.
Oh, I did not know that either.
I did not know that he refused to have his teeth fixed because it was going to alter the sound of his voice and his octaves if he had done so. I didn't know those things about him. I didn't know that the members of the group were all very educated men.
Which, oh, yeah.
You know, which is kind of rare in rock and roll, you know. So that was kind of cool. So you end up learning things about the group that you didn't know before. Some things you'll be surprised by, some things you won't. But I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it. So,
I did. And, I love the Mike Myers scene in the movie. I really, like, it's funny because I think they did a great disservice by putting his name in the credits. And, like, everyone's talking about this now, so I feel like I need to talk about it. I think whoever came up with that scene deserves an extra zero on their paycheck because it's funny for multiple reasons. You know, it's funny because it's Mike Myers, but it's also because it ties to Wayne's World and the whole Bohemian Rhapsody in that movie. Like, it's really brilliant.
Oh, one other thing that I didn't know. I also did not know that, what is the name of the concert? Live Aid. Live Aid almost did not happen with Queen. It was this close to not happening. And when you watch the film, you'll find out why. But, man, it was really a great ride down memory lane.
And the fact that they let that whole aspect of Live Aid play out in real time in the movie.
That was awesome.
That was amazing.
Because it was spot on.
Yeah, and I remember everyone was talking about this weekend because it opened in IMAX, mm-hmm. that you need to see this movie on IMAX because that experience.
I'm sure that sound is awesome.
I mean, it was amazing at the Fox lot, so I can only imagine in a regular movie theater where they have that sound.
I'm sure it was wonderful. So that is it for Bohemian Rhapsody, you guys. It is produced by 20th Century Fox. It is playing in theaters right now. Do not miss it. You might want to run and go see it. Something else that you might want to run and go see is a film by Focus Features called Boy Erased. It stars Nicole Kidman, Russell Crowe, Lucas Hedges, and it is an extremely disturbing story that is based on the book that Garrett Conley, who wrote the book, him and his mother, Martha, wrote this book. Well, not Martha, but Martha contributed to it. Garrett wrote the book. It's based on his life. And it's based on a very specific chapter of his life where he goes to college. An incident happens in college that may or may not make his family feel like he is homosexual. As a means to prevent that and stop it from moving forward, the family makes a decision to send him to conversion camp. And the things that pop off there are just, it's disturbing to say the least. It really is. It's very disturbing.
The fact, I said this in my review, and I still can't believe I'm saying this, but the fact that it's 2018 and these places still exist. And how many number of states is it? It's almost like
50. So
it's 50, all 50 states?
So this is the thing. So I'm wearing my 50.
Yeah.
So for those watching on YouTube, you can see this pin. Well, maybe you can see it. It's called a 50-50. They are trying... Garrett and his mom and some people that he's working with are trying to initiate an initiative to stop conversion therapy in all 50 out of 50 states. I'm not exactly sure on the number of how many states are currently doing it, but they're trying to stop it because it's cruel and it's inhumane. So there's that. I don't want to say I enjoyed this film because I didn't enjoy it for the purposes of enjoying a film. But what I did like about the film is that it's bringing to light a subject that is often kept under covers. And you'll hear when you hear this interview that I did with Garrett and his mom, Martha, about some situations that I had come up with in my family as well. But you'll hear that, and you'll hear some other
41
things.
States, it's 41, still legal.
41 states out of 50 states, it's legal
to
do conversion therapy.
That's insane to me. 2018, people. 2018.
Yeah, that's annoying. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play this interview real quick, and then Scott and I will come back and give you the rest of our thoughts.
Sure.
Boy Erased is a book that was written by Martha and Garrett Conley that has now been turned into a feature film directed, written, and starring Joel Edgerton. I recently sat down at a round table to speak with Martha and Garrett, and this is what they had to say about Nicole Kidman, conversion therapy, and so much more.
Yeah, she's always super sweet.
You know, she sits down on the ground with you and takes her shoes off, and we talk about kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Aww. She's
a
real person.
His back. through the premiere.
How did you feel when you found out that Nicole Kidman was going to be playing you in a film?
I'm still in shock. I said, do you think you could get Nicole Kidman by me? And he kind of looked at me and he said, I could ask. And I'm like, she's my favorite. Oh, I've my loved God. Her for so many years. And I said, if you could get Nicole Kidman, I would just die, you know. And he's like, well, I can ask. And so when he actually told me, I thought it was a mean joke.
So how did he tell you, though?
He just called and said, you know, Nicole's on board.
What was the first thought that crossed your mind? You crossed that threshold and they were trying to keep him captive.
The very first thing I thought when I got there was, we are getting out of here, because I was watching Garrett and he wasn't able to tell me at night or anything what had happened during the day or share anything. He just had homework and I knew we couldn't go out in restaurants and things like that, you know. And so I was watching him sinking lower. But the only problem with that is I think I would have noticed it even faster, but I was sinking just as low as he was. Right. And I was hiding under the covers. I know Nicole today said she wanted that to be in the movie so much because even though she portrayed, you know, me getting depressed, she said she really wanted to show me going back to the room and really just being in the covers till it was time to go pick him back up.
Right. Yeah.
But how long was it for you, Garrett, after you left the camp? How long did it take for you to embrace your authentic self? Because you realized, I'm sure, going through that experience, that, okay, this is not, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
This is not a thing for me. This is who I am. How am I going to embrace this for the rest of my life?
I mean, I always talk about how conversion therapy in a facility, you know, is almost just an amalgamation of everything we'd encounter our whole lives. You know, we'd heard so many prejudiced ideas about LGBTQ people, and to have those ideas so condensed and immediately pushed on us for like 2 weeks, ironically, it sped up the process of me being okay with myself, because you get up to the point, you know, I'd been suicidal before that, and I became, I believe, very suicidal at the end of that conversion therapy experience, and you start to realize, like, either something changes about how I see myself, or it's over. When it gets that drastic, you know, you don't look back. You're like, I'm not going back to that feeling again. Mm-hmm. And Mom saw that in me, and she saved my life.
You know, because I was like, are you going to kill yourself? And
yeah,
he said yes.
I think if she hadn't asked that question, or if she hadn't noticed that I would have had a harder time leaving. Because there were so many times along the way where I thought, is this working? Is this right for me? But because, you know, of the pressure of the community and my parents, I just felt like I needed to keep going and keep trying. I think
and
a lot of people...
he was raised the same way, too. And, like, he even explained to me, because I've apologized to him every day for 14 years.
Time to stop.
And he said, Mom, I was raised the same way. I think I had to at least go and try, or at least experience a little bit of it.
I don't think that that's true for other people.
Right.
I think that conversion therapy's killed a lot of people. Right. I don't wish it on anyone. That's why I say it's ironic that it sped up the process of me coming to terms with who I was.
Let me tell you something. That scene in the film where they literally have the Bibles and that young man is over the coffin and they're beating him. I'm Buddhist now, but I grew up in the Pentecostal church. Uh-huh. That was like a every Sunday thing. Yeah. Like, that was my life.
Just beating him.
We're going to beat it out of him. I've never seen that before.
Oh, did you ever encounter, I'm just wondering, because I've been asking this to everyone, in your Pentecostal church, did people try to convert people to straight?
Oh, yes.
How'd they do
it? They would. It never happened.
Get the demons out.
Yeah, of course, it doesn't work.
They would say, because my grandparents were they ran the church. Mm-hmm. Like, they started the church from the Mississippi River in St. Louis, on the Mississippi River into the inner city of St. Louis, Missouri. And so they ran the church like they were the church. Mm-hmm. And what they would do is they would have the deacons and the usher board and, you know, the deacons' wives and whoever else that they wanted to bring in, very much like they would, they did in the film with you and your father and your mom. They bring the people in from the church and they ask you all these dumb questions. Mm-hmm. And they do. They just ask dumb questions and they say stuff like, you know, what do you think is going to happen to your soul if you continue down this line of life? What do you think Jesus is going to say to you? Do you think Jesus is going to accept you into the pearly gates with this behavior? And I literally want to punch him in their throat because I sat there and I would watch that happen.
I hope you're able to put this part in the interview, because I think it's really important that people understand that conversion therapy comes in a lot of different forms, mm-hmm. in a lot of different churches.
Mm-hmm. And you
That's
don't
one
have
of the
to
messages.
Be, go to an institution.
Yeah, it no, can just be don't. Sitting across from a pastor who says that kind of stuff.
It reminded me very much. Have you guys ever seen that documentary Jesus Camp?
Yes.
It's very much like Jesus Camp.
You should
no,
see
I
it.
Yeah. Seen it.
It's intense.
It's intense. You might not want to watch it for a minute.
Yeah. Wait a little while.
You might want to leave that film alone just for a little while.
Just that Bible beating in the movie was enough for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, that was hard.
I don't think you get to choose who you love. I love my dad, mm-hmm. and it just is not going to end, like, mm-hmm. for some reason.
You can't choose, you yes. can choose right. your friends, but
yes.
you can't choose your
exactly.
family.
Exactly.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
And, you know, we have arguments all the time, and I've been able to say to him, you know, how do you think the Baptist Church, the white Baptist Church, treated civil rights mm-hmm. during the day?
Oh, my God.
How did that go? And do you think that they used certain Bible passages mm-hmm. to justify slavery in the
sure.
past?
Sure.
Yes,
sure
they did.
They did.
Do they do it now? No, hopefully. Maybe
right.
some people
yeah,
do.
Certain parts of the country,
know,
right?
No. I know, but not my dad's church, honestly. Okay. No, I don't think so.
All right.
And it's the same thing with women too,
yeah.
you know, because I really believed growing up, I was taught, you know, that you just, there's a pecking order.
Absolutely. Well, women, but also mm-hmm. women are told to wear veils, you can't touch them if they're menstruating, like,
right.
there's all these rules in
the
Leviticus
right
that
You're
nobody
really
follows.
With my jewelry.
Can't eat shrimp.
My girls are going to send me to hell.
Oh yeah, and
we can't wear
mixed textures. You can't wear
right.
mixed fabrics.
Right, and I can't
well, that's
wear, and makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one's doing that.
Makeup, and we shouldn't
oh, yeah.
cut
oh.
our hair,
oh.
and then my pearls.
Oh please! Right. I remember one time they used to have there was a something called hot pants that were really popular.
Oh yes.
And I was sitting on that front porch in all my glory and my hot pants, oh. living my best life. And my great grandfather came out there, and he was like, "Daughter, I'm going to need you to go upstairs and change your clothes."
Man.
That's what he called me when we get pissed mm-hmm. off. He said, "Daughter, I'm going to need you to go upstairs and change your clothes." And I'm like, "Yes, sir." He said, "What was that?" And I
yes,
said,
sir.
"Yes, sir."
I remember that.
and then when my back was turned, I rolled my eyes. Just,
yes.
Just, mm-hmm. just devilish.
And
just
now
wrong.
Look at you.
And now look at you. I'm just a heathen.
I thoroughly enjoy being in this round table with Miss Kathy Copcutt, the Bel Air mommy, speaking to Garrett and Martha Conley. They were a hoot, but they were the most real, down-to-earth people I had ever met. Boy Erased, produced by Focus Features. It will be in your theaters on November 2nd. This is your girl, Carla Renata, a.k.a. the Curvy Film Critic. Until the next time, love, peace, and hair grease.
I love that interview with them because it was so small and it was so intimate. And Miss Martha was like, "Well, my pearls are just going to put me in hell." I love her so much. They were so down to earth and so real. And what I didn't air in this interview, I had to cut it down because it was like 14 minutes long. But actually longer than that. It was about 30 minutes that we spoke.
Oh, wow.
And I cut it down to like maybe 7 or 8. But what we didn't talk about was... Well, we did talk about in the interview about how it was like for her going back home after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's one thing for Garrett to write a book. Nobody knows whether they've read the book. You don't know whether they've read a book
right.
or not. You know, you can't tell when somebody's gone in a bookstore and purchased a book. But when it's a feature film, everybody knows. Everybody sees it. And she's still, her husband is still a pastor. She's still the first lady of the church. So, you know.
That's probably why they changed the name.
To Boy Erased?
No. His name's Jared in the movie.
His name is Garrett. His name is Garrett, but they pronounce it Jared
uh-huh.
in the movie. Yeah. And they changed the name of his mother and his father in the film, too.
Yeah.
But they were lovely. And he's doing some... He's a writer now. He lives in New York City. He's doing a lot of work with the LGBTQ community. And I just feel like... I feel like this film is so important, and I really feel like it should get some love this award season, if for nothing else. And let me tell you something else, too, what else freaked me out. When I met his mom, I kind of gagged a little bit because his mother, Nicole Kidman, does such a spot-on portrayal of his mom. I mean, she got the voice, the mannerisms, everything. It was a little freaky.
Yeah.
When she walked in the door, I was like,
"Oh, I can
Nicole
see that."
Kidman?
I can see that. Just listening to that,
it was crazy. It was like, "Oh my goodness!" I mean, she's got that Southern accent down, and you know what I mean. I was like, "Wow!" It was, It was, but I think the person that really should get some love out of everybody in that film is Lucas Hedges.
Oh.
Because he's doing some really brave, raw, real work in this film. And it's not like anything people have seen him do before.
I love this movie. I saw it at Telluride. It was my favorite movie there. I remember walking out of it, and I went up to the focus person. I was like, I love this movie. And one of the actors in the movie was like next to him, and Ashley saw him, and she was like, he was like, you should have seen his reaction, Scott. It's like his like jaw dropped, and he was like staring at you. He was like, yeah. And it just, Lucas Hedges is an incredible actor. He's in three movies this year. He's on Broadway right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's every role that he takes is different than the last one. And he's so powerful in this movie. He doesn't even have to say a word. It's like the way he stares at the camera, he just conveys so much emotion through his eyes, through his hand movements. He's such an incredible, talented. He's like 21 years old.
I know. I can't.
He's 21 years old.
I cannot wait to see what the universe has in store for him in the future, because he's really quite brilliant.
Yeah. And I mean, this movie, like you were saying, I think, you know, it's hard to come out of this movie and say, I enjoyed it. It's not a movie where I was like, oh my God, that was wonderful. Let me go back and see it again. But like you were saying, it's so incredibly important, and it highlights such an important issue, and it's, the subject matter is handled so brilliantly. And this is one of the few
films. Very tastefully, I thought.
This is one of the few films that I've seen this year where I felt like everyone who was a part of this movie cared about the message. Like they really, like they put their heart and soul into this material. You don't see that all the time in movies. Mm-mm. You don't feel like everyone really cares about the story. It's just kind of like, ah, I'm here for a paycheck. You know, there's some great performances in movies, but this one, you just felt like there was passion from everyone, whether it was Joel from behind the camera or in front of the camera, to Lucas, to Nicole. Everyone was just amazing.
And let's just talk about Joel Edgerton for a second, because he is doing the Bradley Cooper for Boy Erased.
Yes.
He is directing. He co-wrote the script with Garrett. He's acting in the film. I think he produced it as well,
yes,
along with Focus Features and Garrett. I mean, there's a lot going on. And so I'm almost positive this film will get recognition for best picture, and it's gonna have, like, it's gonna be on the flip side of A Star Is Born. It's gonna get a lot of nominations, but I'm not quite sure how they're going to fall, if they're going to fall.
It's really hard because Nicole Kidman has this movie for supporting actress. She has Destroyer.
She has like three movies out, right?
Yeah, but this one and Destroyer are the two. But luckily, they're in two different categories. She'll be a lead actress for Destroyer. She'll be supporting for this.
Yeah.
I saw both movies. I really don't know which performance is better. She's so good in both of them. And I really would love to see Lucas Hedges get a nomination. It's such a tough year. I don't know if he's going to win. When I came out of Telluride,
he won't win. Yeah, but he will get nominated. He won't win, but he will get nominated, because this is a really good year for film. Because I was saying last week, every week I would come, and I've said this to you,
I know.
Every week I come out of a movie, I'm like, oh my God, that's my new favorite movie. Every week. And I can't remember the last time I went to a theater and was so excited about almost every single solitary film that I saw. It was great. So we both love Boy Erased.
Oh, yeah, loved it. Yep.
So you guys, again, this is another one that is in theaters right now. Go see it. It is produced by Focus Features. It's called Boy Erased. It stars Nicole Kidman, Russell Crowe, and Lucas Hedges. Now, for something that I have mixed feelings about.
Okay.
The Nutcracker and the Four Realms.
I have some mixed feelings about this one, too.
The Nutcracker and the Four Realms is produced by Disney, Walt Disney Studios, Walt Disney Pictures. And it is a narrative version of the really popular, iconic ballet, The Nutcracker. They've taken that ballet and made it into a narrative film. This is what I have to say about that. I used to be a dancer. I never did ballet because, you know, as a little black girl in America, if you had a butt or breast, you were not encouraged to pursue ballet. So there was that. But that did not stop me from liking that ballet. Having said that, I would have preferred if they had just taken the ballet and did some really crazy, wonderful, unique, fantastical thing with the ballet, as opposed to putting a narrative on it, because I did not enjoy that. And honestly, the only part of the film that I really enjoyed was when Misty Copeland was dancing. Because I was like, oh, like the toy soldiers didn't dance. The toy soldiers were kind of demonic and crazy. You know, I enjoy it. Actually, the film didn't even pick up for me until they hit the four realms, actually. When they hit the four realms, I was actually like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I felt like Morgan Freeman and Helen Mirren were wasted. I really enjoyed Mackenzie Foy. She was lovely. Very lovely girl. I liked her a lot. The little boy that played the Nutcracker, not so much. I mean, and you
talk
know,
about wooden.
You know, I mean, right? You know, and I usually don't poo-poo films. I usually, my train of thought is, you know, I know that it took them a long time to make this. I don't like to pour acid rain on anybody's parade, but I did say that I liked the second half better than the first. I felt like the through line of the family losing the mom, I felt like that wasn't fully fleshed out. It was kind of like...
It's kind of creepy, too.
It was kind of all over the place, and it was kind of weird to me how the father was only paying attention to that one daughter. It was just odd. So before we give to your opinion, let's throw a little bit of the trailer up to talk about it. It'll be coming up anytime now, but until that happens...
Until that happens, Walt Disney Pictures presents The Nutcracker.
Your gift this year will be something you'll never forget. Most people don't realize there are troubled realms within our world.
So, what was interesting about this movie for me was that when I watched this trailer and did very little for me, but the one thing that I took away from it was this is going to have amazing cinematography and it's going to have amazing costume design.
And it did.
And I feel like it had amazing costume design and halfway great cinematography, because I felt like certain scenes were beautiful and vivid, and then other ones just looked like they used the cheapest CGI they can find.
You think so?
Yeah, there was just certain points in the movie where I just
seen... Let me tell you something. That Mouse King thing, oh my God, that creeped me out so... It was like, I felt like... Remember that movie that came out a long time ago, Ben?
Yeah, oh my God.
About the rat?
Crispin Glover? Yeah,
yes.
I loved it. Yeah.
I was like, ooh, you liked Ben?
Yuck. Yeah, yes.
I'm just like, I don't need to see rodents crawling in multiple nothing. Like, yeah. I just... was freaked out by
that movie's called Willard, and it had the song Ben by Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but didn't they come out with a movie named Ben later?
There was no, that was the song, and they had like a music video for it. And Crispin Glover did that with the rats calling all over him.
My mind is seared with the rats, but I did not. When that happened, I was like, okay, I was good, and now I'm waiting for, like, a mouse to crawl across my feet in the theater, which is not going to happen on the Walt Disney Studio lot, but oh my goodness, I was like, this sucks. I don't like this. It was gross.
I thought the movie was so uneven. I didn't mind the fact that they tried to do something different with it. In fact, if I had to give the movie any points, I would give it points for trying to do something unique, because I feel like we've had so many different versions of the Nutcracker. It's like, how many times can you redo this? But the problem was, is that it just felt so disjointed and all over the place. And like you were saying, there's so many talented actors in this movie, and they're all wasted. And they're all like acting on different levels. Like Keira Knightley in this movie, she got it. Like she got the tone, and she was like over the top, and she was having a good time. But Mackenzie Foy was like, she was like, sometimes she's playing it too serious, sometimes she was too light. Helen Mirren just like, she was like, okay, I'm here for my paycheck. Let me just walk out this step. Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman just standing there. He's like, you want to be in a movie for 10 minutes? Sure, why not? How much am I getting paid? I'll do it. It was all over the place, and the visuals were all over, like everything about this movie. You can tell, like, two directors are credited on this movie. It literally feels like one of them walked out halfway through it and someone else stepped in and tried to make it. Because the first half, like you said, and the second half feel like two completely different movies.
Yeah, it just Yeah, and you know, I'm a big Disney fan. I
it's okay. They're not. They can make mistakes too.
I pretty much love everything they do. Is anyone that has watched Black Tomatoes mm-hmm. over the last 8 or 9 months knows I'm a huge Disney fan. I love the studio. Ooh, speaking of Disney, my little commercial break. They do have a special coming on tonight. Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday is on ABC, so y'all might want to check that out.
And who went to that?
I went to that. Yeah. It was fantabulous. I had a good time. You can see all about it on my IG and my Twitter. But yeah, so that's how I felt about that. Is that all you have to say about Nutcracker?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah, that's all I have to say about that too. But you know what I don't have a whole lot to say? What I do have a lot to say about is the BHL fans, like my boy Michael B and Steven, that are in the chat room right now. BHL fans, Black Hollywood Live is the first urban digital broadcast network in existence, and since its inception, BHL has prided itself on creating outstanding content in all areas, from news, music, and politics to lifestyle and entertainment. We've not only given a voice to the often underserved Black and Latino community, we've also provided new hosts with the dopest platform to exercise their talents, like they do here for Scott Menzel and myself. And that's not all, y'all. BHL has done the same for many Hollywood's A-lists, including Oprah Winfrey, whom has made multiple BHL appearances and given us several shout-outs, which we are eternally grateful for. Now, Black Hollywood Live needs your help. How can you do that? I'm going to tell you how. By subscribing to our YouTube channel, that's how, and by subscribing to Black Tomatoes. Please subscribe to Black Tomatoes. You can do it on YouTube. You can do it via iTunes. You can do it via Spotify. You can find us everywhere. Please like us, support us, talk to us, and subscribe. And when you do that, you don't have to worry about any, you know, bothersome or pesky notifications. They're totally optional. Totally optional. So hit that subscribe button now. It helps us to continue our work, and let us know that you did in the comments as well, and we'll show you some love on the air like we have earlier for Michael B and Steven. Thank you for being supportive BHL fans, helping us take the network to the next level and continue to redefine Hollywood. Yeah,
Hollywood redefined.
Hollywood redefined. All right, so there was a whole bunch of film news, but I would much rather talk about Top Gun.
Okay, yeah.
Because Top Gun is our film movieversary. So, like I said, well, I didn't say at the beginning of the show, but I say at some point during the show, every time we do it, that we have two segments that we add. One is the streaming pick of the week, and the other one is the movieversary. I was going to say filmversary, but that's not it. The movieversary. The movieversary of this week is Top Gun starring Top Gun starring Tom Cruise and Kelly McGinnis. I loved this movie when it came out. The Need for Speed, baby.
How could you not love this movie?
It was a great, great film, and it is celebrating 30 years this year. And what's really ironic about it is that they're going to do a remake of it, and Tom Cruise is involved with that too.
It's actually going to be a sequel.
Which is so
interesting, because at first when they announced it, I was kind of like, really? And the casting and all the news about it, I'm really excited for it.
I'm on board for it, because guess what? Tom Cruise don't look any different now than he did then.
No, he doesn't.
I'm just saying, the boy ages well.
He drinks those green protein shakes every day.
I don't know what he's drinking or what he's doing, but he is doing his thing, and I love him for it. So that's a big shout out to Tom Cruise and his 30th anniversary of Top Gun. Now, the streaming pick of the week, usually it is a film, an old film that we pick, but I chose to pick a TV series that is streaming right now on Amazon Prime. It's called Homecoming, and it stars Julia Roberts, Dermot Mulroney, Stephan James, Shay Whigham, just a plethora of people are in there. And it is just, the thing that I love about Homecoming, and it's directed by Sam Esmail, who does
Mr. Robot.
The thing that I love about Homecoming is that it is a TV series streaming, but it looks like a feature film. There's only 10 episodes, and they're real short. You can knock it out in one segment. They're 30 minutes each. And it deals with this facility that is supposed to be a facility to help veterans get back on their feet before they have to go back out to fight or go back home. And that's what it's supposed to be, but that turns out not to be what it is. And Julia Roberts' character is is the person, the therapist, that helps them all get back into place. She helps them work through whatever things that they were having difficulty with so that they can get over that hurdle and get back into society. And the way it plays out and the twists and turns are crazy. But what's really crazy is that chemistry between her and Stephan James. It is amazing. And Stephan James, for people that are not familiar with Stephan James, Stephan James is the star of the new film that's coming out called If Beale Street Could Talk, the new Barry Jenkins film. And if you like him on Homecoming, you're not going to be ready for him. And if Beale Street Could Talk, I'm just saying, I am a huge Stephan James fan. I interviewed him on the red carpet for Beale Street in Toronto. He's the real deal. I interviewed him for Homecoming as well, and those will be up on the curvyfilmcritic.com YouTube site, so you can check those out. But man, it's really good. I find it's one of those things that you stream that you go, oh, I'm just gonna stream one and see how I feel about it, and then you go, oh, but I gotta see what's next. It's kind of like when you watch, if you've ever streamed Handmaid's Tale or House of Cards or anything like that that you really 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 like, and you go, oh, I'm just going to watch a couple of episodes, and then you find yourself like in front of the TV like 5 hours later.
It's immersive.
Yes, yeah. Very much so. Very much so. It's really, 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 really good.
I think it's interesting because Julia Roberts is having such an incredible year. I mean, she's got this show. I've been hearing I've been hearing tons about it for like the past like month and a half now.
It's great.
And then she has Ben Is Back, mm-hmm. which comes out, I think it's like the first week of December. Mm-hmm. And that's also with Lucas Hedges. And I mean, have you seen it yet?
Mm-mm.
Her performance in that, incredible.
Really?
Another incredible. It's interesting.
You're talking about Ben Is Back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I haven't
but I'm
seen
just,
that one
just
yet.
Saying that, like Julia Roberts, it's interesting because I feel like she's been out of limelight for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And to have Homecoming and then Ben Is Back and like hearing all this talk about her maybe doing Oscars and now maybe with an Emmy, I mean, that's incredible because really her cred was very low over the last couple of years. I feel like she didn't have as much.
But you know what? That is all right with me because she is back and in full effect. And I interviewed her on the red carpet too. Let me tell you something about Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts, what we all as fans of hers think she is, that's exactly what she is. When I interviewed her on that red carpet, you won't find a more gracious, more lovely, more supportive, more let me talk to you with your outlet person ever on the red carpet than Julia Roberts.
Wow.
I promise you.
That's amazing.
She was thebomb.com. And so was Sam Esmail, the director. He was great. I interviewed him. I had to cut up the piece just to have his section be separate because he talked for so long. And I'm like, why is he talking to me for so long? But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed talking to him. The thing that's really great about this piece, though, is a thriller. It's a drama thriller, very Hitchcock-esque is uh-huh. what it is. And it's really good. And Dermot Mulroney has a nice little part in it. He's actually kind of funny in it. So I'm sure he's not trying to be the comic relief, but he kind of is the comic relief. Marianne Jean-Baptiste is in it as well.
Okay.
She plays Stephan James's mom. It's really, I don't even have enough adjectives and words.
Add it to the queue, ladies and gentlemen.
Add it to the queue. Well, that does it for us, my brother. We are done.
Yes.
For this
that was
episode.
A great episode.
I know, right? So next week, we're going to talk about The Grinch.
I will not be here next week. I am sorry.
Yes.
I will tell you right now.
Yes.
I am sorry.
He will
but
not
I will be
here.
Back next week, the week
not,
after.
He will not be here, but Travell Anderson
I know.
From the LA Times will be.
I don't know. I want to meet...
You want to meet Travell? It'll happen.
One day.
But Travell Anderson will be joining me next week, and we're going to talk about the front runner, The Grinch, and Les Bombs.
Did you see Les Bombs? I did not. Yeah.
I'm about to see it.
Okay.
But I have seen the front runner and The Grinch, so that's going to be interesting. And Travell and I always have some very highly spirited conversations.
You do. You definitely do.
So as I said before, if you guys have not gone to the YouTube channel and subscribed to Black Hollywood Live or subscribe to the Black Tomatoes show, please do so. We would really appreciate it. Go over to Spotify and iTunes and do that as well. And join us next week for episode 37 of Black Tomatoes here on Black Hollywood Live. I am your host, Carla Renata. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can find me right after this over at AfterBuzz TV doing the General Hospital After Show. And you can also find me on Monday nights at After Buzz doing Dance with the Stars After Show. Where can we find you, Scott?
That's a long laundry list.
I know it is.
It is very long.
I'm a busy girl.
Scott Menzel, WeLiveEntertainment.com. You can read my written reviews and my interviews there. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Other Scott M. Also, a new YouTube channel, The Other Scott M, as well. And
ooh, look at you.
Yes. And then I have Meet the Movie Press, 9 a.m. on Fridays, and LAOFCS Weekly, 11 a.m. on Fridays, both of which are on the Popcorn Talk Network. Thank you so much for watching and supporting the show. We really, really appreciate it.
Yes, we do. So until next week and 2 weeks for Scott, love, peace, and hair grease. See you next time. Bye.
See you later.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.